the same. You're the same. You're the same. You are unchanging. You are unbending. You are unrelenting. Your love never, never, never changes for us, God. No matter what. We're so, so blessed to be favored by the Most High. We're in your courts. And we give you thanksgiving and praise. And we praise your holy name today because you never change. Can we put that last song up so we can see those words as we're just giving exaltation to the Lord? You're the higher power darkness cannot stand, and we're no longer bound to sin. And we declare that we're free, God. And when we say that we still believe, that tells us that we believe that you're the same yesterday and today and forever, and we won't change from that, God. And your blood is sufficient. And because your blood is sufficient, that means that all things are under your dominion and your control and your domain. And your authority is great. Your authority is powerful. Your authority is omnipotent. Your authority is ours in Jesus' name that you've given us because your spirit resides in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's who you say we are, God. And you say that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and that we will believe that you say who you are, that we believe it. So, Lord, you say that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You say that fear was crucified at the cross. You say that in you there is no lack, was crucified at the cross. You say that you are the Father of lights and every spiritual blessing flows down from you, God. And you say that that belongs to us, God. And you say that this is a season that we can reap the benefits of the harvest that you're bringing right now. The great end time harvest is upon us. And Father, as we recognize who you are and who you say and who you believe we are as we're created in your image, that we're your ambassadors and we move forward, Lord, to see the Ohio fire released, God. The fire of the end time army released. We believe it, God, that this is the season that's upon us. And your firebrands are rising. Your fiery ones are saying yes. Your relentless ones who will pursue you and receive your pursuit say yes to you. And our declaration and our confession and our decree is yes and amen. With victory in our hearts, with joy in our hearts, God, you say that you are our deliverer. You say that you are our healer. You say that you set us free at the cross. And we embrace that as those joint heirs in you who are crucified in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We say, God, make it real in our hearts. Father, we invite the deep revelation of that. We invite you to deeply reveal and overtake us. We are overtaken by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we love not our life unto the death. Father, that's what love looks like. Father, love is not some gushy thing that doesn't have substance. Father, we thank you that your spirit in us rises above our emotions. Your spirit in us rises above our feelings. Your spirit in us rises above our thoughts, God, so that we would be in line with what your spirit is speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're bringing us into a place of great courage. Great courage. I believe the Lord says that he's speaking to the courageous ones, that he's increasing courage, he's increasing boldness as we step out in thanksgiving and prayer. So, Lord, we praise your name this morning. Let's lift our voices. Let's praise our holy God. You're the higher power. Yes, Lord. We believe, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord.
Blood is sufficient for me, oh, and I. blood is sufficient for me.
Cause you're the highest power.
Darkness cannot stand.
You're the highest power. Not just higher.
I am free.
You are the highest power. Highest power.
Yes. Power,
highest power.
Can I stand? Yeah, no longer bound to sin. I am free. You're the highest. You're the highest power. Darkness cannot stand. No longer bound to sin. We are free. You are. You are. You are. Highest power. No longer bound to sin, I am free. I still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Delivered. we don't understand that everything we received at the cross belongs to us. But our soul needs to go through the process wherever anything has fooled us to believe, for us to believe that we're totally, totally walking in the fullness of what God has given us. We don't believe that. We don't walk that way. So we're in a season where the Lord is maturing his bride and wanting to grow us up. And we call things hurts and pains, which they can be, but many times there are roots that need to be exercised by the Lord, completely relieved and removed by the Lord, for to bring us into a place where what we have received at the cross matches up with the reality of our life. And many times we try to put our own spin on what that will look like, and the enemy laughs at us because he knows that that's what we'll do and lets us do it. So Father, in this season, we're just going to make a faith declaration right now that all the areas in our lives that are not matching up with who you say we are and what you have done at the cross and the resurrection, God, we submit them to you, Father, for your deliverance, for your healing, and for your process. And Lord, you're very sure of who you are and what you're doing. And many times we will be fooled by our own thoughts, by our own desires, thinking that's your voice. So Lord, in this season, there is a shift going on where those other voices are being challenged, where those other voices are being released, where those other voices are being exposed. And Lord, we say yes to that process to be able to come into alignment with the purity and the holiness and the reality of your life. And nothing will stop your process and your program, even us. So we thank you for that, God. We thank you for that, and that we will seek your face and just engage in what you're saying and doing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's a real deliverance anointing and healing anointing on this house. There has been from the very beginning. And we've seen the Lord move so powerfully here and overseas. And as people move towards greater depths of freedom in their own lives, we've seen those processes interrupted because the enemy tries to bring confusion and tries to bring a stopping. He really does. But the Lord knows our confession and our hearts, and he is faithful to open us up to new realms. He's just looking for our willingness. So I believe we're in a place where there will be no counterfeit, that will be permitted to stay. It will be challenged, and it will be removed by the Spirit of God inside of anybody who's hungry. Anything that would try to fool the bride of Christ, Jesus says no. Jesus says no. And when we agree with that, great things happen. Great things will happen in our lives, in our families' lives, in the places we go. And it's with that heart that we go to Mozambique this summer. It's with that heart that we go downtown for the outreach, for many things, but specifically for the outreach in July. And I think we have a video we can play real quickly about the one that Peter put together, if you can find that. That would be great. And while we're doing that, we also want to put a picture up of Mike. So if you can put that up, Andy. This young man had been coming to Frontline a lot, and he moved in a different direction for whatever. He's a great kid, and we love him, and great relationship. We haven't seen him in a little bit, but he was in a car accident. I don't think Barb's here today. Day before yesterday, and this is Barb's grandson, Mikey Ramey, another Mikey. We love this kid, this guy, and he's 20 now. It's just been a couple of years, maybe a year and a half or something since we've seen him. But Pastor Bill and I visited him yesterday in ICU in Altman, and many of you may have heard about this. We've been praying. And Mike was in a car accident that rendered him close to death. He's not dead. Praise the Lord. So praise the Lord for that. So we were able to go over there, pray over him, and we're believing for a complete and total turnaround. We're believing for restoration. Got to pray with the family, meet with them, pray with Barb and everything. And he was just in the back seat, you know, of a car, and he got hit. And so it was just really rough and very, very rough. So it's a very tenuous thing, you know, for the family to see him in this state. But we're declaring and believing life for him. You know, Don and Mary have been in the hospital. Don is now in rehab, and Don has a miraculous story to tell all of us, and I'm going to let him do it when he comes. He's not coming yet, and maybe we'll put it on a, you know, a video or something, and then it can see it that way. But Don also had a, you know, really difficult situation where he was life-flighted from Robinson Memorial Hospital to University Hospital in Cleveland. And then a turnaround for him, so praise the Lord. And then Mary had surgery, emergency surgery, this week on top of that. So we've been in touch with them and the family. So a lot of things have been going on, but we're standing and believing that what we sing up here is true. And we're believing that these things are turning around. So, you know, I have to tell you one thing that was really interesting that happened to me. It was very small. But I don't think so. You know, it looked like it was small. But we were able to go away for our anniversary last weekend. It was a wonderful time. So we were up in Michigan. Yes. Promised Land. Yes. And it was wonderful. Well, we were walking in this area near this harbor, and my ankles have been hurt numerous times in my life. You know, it's just kind of not watching where I'm going, or someone hits me or whatever, you know, and it twists or turns and buckles. And so I've had some rough times at different times in my life. And we were walking, and I even had tennis shoes on. We're walking on this uneven, you know, ground. And my ankle just went like that. I literally felt nothing. Didn't even feel a pain. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Well, I recognized I was jumping around going, nothing happened. Nothing happened. I was protected from that. And within, you know, at the distance right down where Mandy is, there was this lady in a electric wheelchair. And I went up to her. I was planning on doing that. And I saw her coming, and she was in this. And so had I been in that situation where something really happened to me, I more than likely wouldn't be able to minister to her. I would have had a broken ankle or something like that. So I went up to her, and Pastor Bill and I ministered to her. It was really incredible. And she had died twice, been brought back. She had an aneurysm in the brain. She also had surgery for a new aorta. And I shared a bunch of things with her, and we prayed over her, and she felt the power of God. She wasn't sure if the doctors would ever think she'd walk again, but she was really determined. So we had this amazing encounter of healing with the Lord right at that moment. And the Lord wanted to use us in that. Do we understand the mind of Christ? Do we understand why things happen? Why is Mike in this situation? We don't have the answers for those kinds of things. But we do know that God is bigger than all of it. You know, he's so big. And he's saying, if you will see me as I am, I will take you with me. Not just where you see it and go, wow, God, you're big. But the way that you will live your life will reflect his bigness. Okay, it's with that heart that I mentioned to you what I said about healing and deliverance, personal healing, personal deliverance in this season. Just say, Lord, this is where I want to go, and I'm going after you, and I'm not going to navel gaze about me and my world and my life, but at the same time, I'm going to allow you to decree and declare in my life who I am and where I'm going, and nothing's going to stop your program for me. Amen? With that, I don't know if Rach wants to come up? Okay. We had a little thing happen today. Now, this is the faith of a child. And I think this is really appropriate on Father's Day and appropriate with what I'm saying about all these other things. And Isaac just came up to me. And do you want to just... Okay.
Andy said we should be on the steps so that Isaac can get on the camera. But on our way to church today, Isaac went in, got in our minivan through the back and closed the door. And his hand got stuck in the back of our door. And, he closed it on his hand, and Troy had to open it up for him. And I think it pinched his skin. He had a pinch mark in the middle of his palm.
Right.
And how did it feel, Isaac?
Ouch.
So it was still hurting when we got to church. He had ice on it, and Troy prayed for it right then, and then we prayed for it during worship back there. And then what happened, Isaac? So Jesus healed his hand, and all of a sudden he said, hey, it doesn't hurt anymore. I said, did Jesus heal you? Yeah, and he's been showing everybody, and it's been... What?
What should I say?
Say, Jesus healed my hand.
Jesus healed my hand.
And just as when he pinched it, it was a divot into his hand, like a pinch, and it looked like it was going to be a huge bruise. And I was checking the bones to make sure they weren't broken, and I didn't think they were broken. Plus, he wasn't crying enough for that. But it looked like it was going to make a big bruise, and there was a chunk there. And if you look at his hand, you can't even see a mark. There's not a bruise. There's not a blood vessel, nothing. So really cool. That's cool.
That's awesome. Isaac, do you want to say anything else?
It got healed today, and it got hurt today.
Awesome. So, Father, we're going to take that testimony right now, and we're going to apply it to Don and Mary and to Mikey. And who else needs healing in here? Okay, what's that? Lyle Maddox needs healing too. And I heard something about Brenda. She's sick at home. Okay, so Brenda Calderhead needs healing. Who else needs healing?
Hey, Jen.
Jen needs healing. Gina needs healing. Oh, my gosh. All right. So if you need healing, up on your feet, please. Father, we just heard the testimony, and you're standing in the gap for somebody else, too. Up on your feet, please. Here we go. Father, we just heard the testimony of little Isaac, and he said, Jesus healed me, and he healed me today. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And we are choosing to believe that you're going to bring that healing and delivering power upon us right now. And Father, we're standing in the gap. No matter what we think about what we've seen in the past, what we've seen in any respect, God, we're calling as little children, saying, heal me, Daddy, heal my loved ones today. Heal me, Daddy, heal my loved ones today. So Father, we just thank you for that faith that's being released from a little child. In Jesus' name, we receive it, we believe it, and we move forward in it. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Thank you so much. Carly has something.
A few quick announcements. We don't have a video today. This week is Jackson Community Celebration Outreach. So those opportunities to stop for the one and step out of our comfort zone to meet people right where they're at, right here in our community. It's down in Jackson Park. There's a sign-up sheet. It goes Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and pretty much all day Saturday. So please, please, please sign up to volunteer if you have not already. We pray for people. We give them information about the church. We draw personal pictures that God gives us. And it's just a really awesome time to speak into their lives and see people come to know him. We've had salvations right on the spot. So we're really excited about that. Then Saturday night, Rick Pino is coming to Frontline. That is just going to be an amazing time of worship at 7 p.m. So tell your family, tell your friends. If you don't know who he is, you can look him up on YouTube. He's a really awesome and anointed worship leader. So that's going on when we still need to have our booth at Jackson Community Celebration. So we're asking that people take 1 hour slots. If you'd be willing to sacrifice an hour of worship with Rick Pino to be at the booth, that would be awesome. So no one has to be there the entire time. And then we have a promo video for our Kingdom Kids summer celebration. So that's going to be an awesome time. Registration and volunteer sign up for that are also on the table in the foyer.
Excellent. And real quick, we've got a simple training going on July 12th. Mark your calendars. It's going to be a time where those that are specifically going to be going out to the outreach in Canton, July, I think it's the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Sign up for that. mark it on your calendars, so we're going to just do some impartation and simple training for that outreach, okay? You saw Skyline Terrace, that's in South Canton, and what we're going to be doing is we're gathering teams to go down there in July, the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And what we're going to do Friday night, we're bringing things together right now. We're partnering with the People's Baptist Church. They are literally a church that have been established at very basically at the top of Skyline Terrace, and there's 36 apartment-like buildings all around there, and 37 of those buildings that you saw. And what our heart's desire and what we're planning to do in partnership with People's Baptist Church is to go in there. We're going to have a time Friday night where we believe we're going to have an opportunity to go into the community specifically for prayer walking, but also go door to door and meet people and just really invite the love of God to come and touch them right where they're at. Saturday, we're going to have an opportunity to have a festival-like celebration that we're believing for God to bring together worship, specifically dance, drama. It's going to be a time where we're going to draw the community out and in to really experience and encounter the love of God so that their lives can change in turn and have an opportunity to really see the love of God manifest in their communities. As a result, we're looking for salvations, healing, and deliverance. And then also along with that Sunday, we're going to have an opportunity as well to have just a fun time where there's bringing the people out again, but specifically for the purpose of celebration. It's going to be more like a carnival in that sense. And again, with the heart and the sense of God really going and touching. So we're looking forward to this because we're filled up with love so much, and we're having an opportunity to go and literally turn the history of an area completely around. And what's going to happen as a result is that revival is going to rise, and it's going to literally spread through that area. And also, God is forging relationships between two churches right now, and it's phenomenal. It really is phenomenal. If you are not a part of this and you want to be a part of this, we have sign up right out in the foyer. You can put your name down, and we're just going to continue to give you information as this gets closer and closer.
So it's actually the 17th, 18th, and 19th of July, Friday through Sunday. So again, at the end, just please check out the table in the foyer. There's signups for all of this stuff. If you didn't get a bulletin, grab one. It has all the information in there. Thank you so much. Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
To all of you. Flip
out. It's Lord. On that Sunday, I'm canceling church. Canceling church here. We'll be going down to People's Baptist on that Sunday and worshiping with them, getting to know them even better than we did on Friday and Saturday. So if you know anyone that might plan to come here and they're saying, oh, I was thinking about stopping by church Sunday, they'll see a sign on the door telling them to go to People's Baptist so you can help them out and tell them ahead of time. So how many think that's a cool idea? It wasn't mine, but it was a great idea. Father, we thank you, God. You're so good to us on Father's Day and every day. Lord, we set aside time on Sunday to worship you and be with you, but Lord, we better be allowing you in every day of the week. Every day is your day. Every day is your day. Every day, Lord. Thank you, God. We open ourselves up during this special time to you, opening our hearts to you. Here we are. We're just your kids. We're on the way to being your kids. And we just want to hear from you, Dad, especially on Father's Day, because you're the best father. You're perfect. You're a perfect father. You give good gifts. You created us. You loved us. As we cry out to you, Lord, you answer. You hear us. You're involved. You're not far away. We don't have to beg when we're your sons and daughters. We just agree and partner with what you love to do with your 700 names and titles, Father. We thank you, God. Come and speak to us today, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts deep, Holy Spirit. Get something done in there. Get some business done, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. We roll out the red carpet for you, Holy Spirit. We give you praise. We honor your name. We pray that every person that we've prayed for today to be healed would be fully healed, just like Isaac. Isaac was a sign of what is to happen more and more and more. Accelerated healing on the earth. Thank you, God, for accelerating it. Thank you for completing it and helping us with our anointing that it's fully functional, that it's quickly functional. Thank you, God. We need you so much, and we depend on you today to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I spoke on, children need to be released. To kingdom land? No? Yes? They already went? I've got two. How many I need? One?
I like this one today.
Okay.
I feel like I've got a hang around my ear. I guess I'm ready to go.
Ready to kick. What did I speak on last time? The antenna. That's right, I had an antenna on top of my head. What was that for? Fun? Hearing the voice of Holy Spirit. So the still small voice of Holy Spirit, we talked about Samuel as a little boy. He's hearing from God, and even the priest wasn't. Boy could hear from God because he had an open heart and a contrite spirit. And he was hearing from God, and the big priest in those days wasn't, because he wasn't listening when God spoke to him to take charge of his family and so on. Interesting that a still small voice can bring about such big change. Some of us hear screaming voices, emotion, hurt, pain. And if we interpret those as God's voice, we are far off, aren't we? We end up far away from our destiny. If we hear a cry inside of us that we're not any good, God might call me a son, but I'm just a bad boy, bad girl. And we don't believe we have value to God, we'll be far off of our destiny. We have to allow Holy Spirit to solve those things in us in order to reach our destinies for Him. And there, you know, when we say our destiny, it's really God's destiny for us that He wants us to reach for our welfare and the welfare of others and building the kingdom. It's not just so we feel good, right, Dawn? It's not just about feeling good. Because that goes away, in and out. It's about the kingdom. We're going to feel good some days, not feel so good other days, but the kingdom's always there to build. That's what it's about. And so when we hear the still small voice, he's telling us, I love you. You're valuable. You're powerful in me. If you'll partner with me, you can be used to build the kingdom. Wow. What a privilege. What an honor. So, listening to the still small voice is under a phrase that I kept hearing the last couple of weeks. You were created for more. Now, he said that to me, and he's saying that to you. You were created for more. You were created for more. More than this. If some of you are happy and satisfied with this, you were created for more. If you're not even close to being happy or satisfied with this, you were created for more. More. Much more. Hearing the still small voice gets us there. And I think one other thing that gets us there is pleasing God. Pleasing God. You know, when you see all the things going on in the news, how many people started their day wanting to please God and end up in the news as a victim or as someone that caused victims? Most of those people aren't starting their day saying, I want to please God today. I want to please God and do what He wants for me today. Many are just saying, I want my rights. I have a right to have this lifestyle and that look and this thing and hurt people if I want or not hurt people. I can make the choices. They're not even thinking about pleasing God. I think God likes to be pleased. Oh, He loves us. But there's a whole nother level we can go to. We can love God so much that we want to please Him. The prophetic words He gives to us are from His love towards us. Our obedience and love for Him helps those prophetic words be activated. Just because you receive a prophetic word from someone doesn't mean it's going to be activated. It's conditional. Conditional. Based on how you go about pleasing God, how you go about listening to the still small voice. Oh, but I have a big prophecy over my life. Bigger than that Pastor Bill, bigger than Frontline, bigger than any OUP. Oh, yeah, I'm something. I'm going to be something. Right there, I think you're not on your way. You're not on your way. To reach it, you're going to have to enter into such humility, such going before the Lord. I want to hear each step. Because there's steps, those stones are laid out there. And if I'm looking at me, I'm not going to step on every stone to get to my destiny. I'm not going to make the steps that God has in the chute, as I call it. Gave a message years ago, and I'll mention it at the end. Honor brings alignment. Brings God's favor. You honor the people in your life that He tells you to honor. Your mother and father, one of the first commands with a promise. It's mentioned all over the New Testament. Honor your mother and father. Wow, just figuring out what that means exactly. How do you do that and honor God at the same time in some situations and all that? That's a learning experience. How do you honor your parents that have passed away? Both my parents are gone. How do I honor them still in the sense that the good that they put into my life, that I honor that in my life, I walk it out even though they're not watching me? God is. So many good things with that, just honoring my mother and my father. But He goes on to have us honored. Other people, right? Relationships with other people. Honor God, obviously. Honor our covenants. And then as we do that, we enter honor our leaders, both government leaders. How do we do that? When they're
saying things that go against the Bible. How do we still honor them? Honor church leaders? How do we honor them if they're really honoring God? How do we honor them when they overlord? How do we honor God with overlording leaders? There's so many different issues with all these things, but as you figure them out and listen to the still small voice, you end up in alignment with everything that's kingdom. And the only result from that that can happen is favor. Things start happening in your life that you had nothing to do with. Inheritance kicks in that you didn't have to save for in any way. Fruit comes out of your life in more abundance than you could have ever thought about producing yourself. It's a beautiful thing. But it starts with a whole process of honoring. So I thought we would spend some time today talking about seven things that please the Father. Now, there are many more. He's got a whole Bible here for us. Any page, just about, there would be something that pleases the Father. But I thought we would take seven today, since you probably want to eat for Father's Day and do other activities. Just a thought. So the first two will actually be mentioned in other parts of the Bible. But before we get there, Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God?" Key issue in life, isn't it? Am I seeking God's favor or do I just listen to man? When I go into a doctor, do I realize that Jesus is the great physician? I can listen to the doctor. I can take his advice. I might even take his prescription. But I can go to the great physician and say, is this what I'm supposed to really be doing for the best for my body? And he'll let me know which things to do, which things not to do. Most of you know that I had a broken ankle a few years ago, and I went to an orthopedic surgeon, and he gave me some counsel. He thought it was doctoring, but actually it was counsel because they had the great physician with me. And he said, you know, you need surgery. I said, really? Are you sure about that? Let's look at the x-rays. Again. Now, I didn't even know what I was doing. It was coming out of my mouth. But God was helping me. The guy looked at the x-rays and he took a good long look. Well, the bones are close together. They might come back together and you wouldn't need surgery. But I've never done that in my whole practice. I've never done that. And I said, well, you know, to myself, I'm thinking, well, the Red Sea was never done before. And the burning bush and things like that. They were never done when they were done. And I honestly didn't know what to say. I don't know what to say to a doctor, but I know Holy Spirit does. And as I worked through that process, many of you know I didn't have surgery. It healed without surgery. The doctor said, you've stretched my faith. They said, my faith was stretched. Both our faith was stretched. What are you talking about? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't even know what an ankle looks like. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The still small voice helps you. Honoring God, that he's the great physician, that when he says, I'm Jehovah Rapha, it's one of his 700 names that he stands behind. He stands behind that name. He came up with that name, not us. And he wants to heal. So why not try that first before I go to the surgery thing? Now, does that mean that no one in here should ever have a surgery? No. No. God will use doctors. He uses Josh every time he goes in. And sometimes it's prayer, sometimes it's doing the doctoring stuff, whatever he does. And he probably knows what an ankle looks like, and I don't, and it doesn't matter. We both need to get our answer from Holy Spirit. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, this house will never accept homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. Because there are plenty of leaders in the body of Christ that are accepting it and saying, oh, it's fine. It's just another lifestyle that people can have. And so they are men pleasers, as far as I'm concerned. They're trying to please man. And oh, there'll be pressure if you don't. And they'll shut your church down and everything else. Hey, we're shutting our church down in July. Ha! So there. You're not even going to be able to find us here on that Sunday. We're going to be somewhere else, incognito. So, we'll be at People's Baptist. On what date is it? The 19th? 19th. So you won't be able to find us here. So we could go to the streets. We do anyway. I mean, we don't need a building. We didn't have a building for 10 years of the ministry. So that's not going to persuade us. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. Do we love people that have those difficulties, those struggles? Of course. Do we want to see them? Yes, because we want to help them. But that doesn't mean we accept it as, oh, that's just my lifestyle. No, no, not your lifestyle. God has something better for you. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Whoa! To please him in all respects. I love these run-on sentences in Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. God has so much to give us, the writers cannot hold it down to a simple sentence. They have to run on and run on and run on. And an English person would say, I don't know. It's got so much good stuff in there. Who cares? Please him in all respects. We don't get to choose where we please him. I don't get to choose. You don't get to choose where we please him. He'll tell us where, and if we bend our knee to him, so many wonderful things put us in that alignment towards favor and destiny. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. You are created for more pleasing towards God your Father on Father's Day and every day. As you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God. That's what's happening this morning. We're receiving instruction on how we can please God better. Not a bad topic. We'll sort out a lot of the difficulties in our lives if we just say, gee, I just want to please God today. Simple. Just want to please you today, Father. You've been so good to me. You've blessed me so much. But I just want to please you because you're amazing. It's not what you've done for me. I could be having the roughest day on earth. I still want to please you today. In Romans 8:5-8, you can look it up yourself. Romans 8:5-8, it talks about how the flesh can't please God. So we've either got to hear from the Spirit to please God or we're not going to please God, period. If we work out of our flesh, if our emotions are in charge, our hurts, our pains are in charge, our preferences, our comfort, our convenience, if any of those things are in charge, those are the flesh. So you can just get out of the way right now. Just raise your hand and you can say, yes, my flesh has been in charge way too much. Okay, you can just do that. God sees it and says, okay, all right. He knows us. But the thing is, we have every opportunity to hear the Spirit more, greater. And as I mentioned the last time I spoke, he's going to be talking more to us. Acts 2 says it's going to increase what he's going to talk to us about, how he's going to talk to us, the ways he's going to talk to us. He's a creative God, and he's been waiting for this time in the earth's history, in human history, to release new ways of communicating with his people. You are living in the best time you could possibly live in, because God is opening up his communication system far more than Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all that. He's got a much better one, built in. You don't have to sign on, sign up. All you have to do is present yourself. Go ahead, speak to me, Father. Man, dreams, visions, pictures, smells, senses, still small voice, the Word of God. So many ways that he can speak to us, and he's going to increase those. And someone will come in here and say, hey, God found a new way to speak to me this week. We're going to hear that more and more and more. It's going to be an exciting ride for those willing to take it. But, you know, you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see, or you won't see anything happening. That's the truth. So the flesh can't please God, Romans 8, 5 through 8. So what are those seven ways? Two of them start out right in the Bible, Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. How many people today don't even believe God exists? That's not going to please God. And there are many more, I think, that don't believe he rewards. He's not a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There are those of you that are seeking him, and at times we have to encourage you that he loves you, he cares for you. He can't wait to bring his special gifts to you, and that's okay. We're all supposed to do that with one another. Some days I need it. So call me up and find out. We all need encouraging in that God is rewarding those that are after his heart. Sometimes it may not look like it to our physical eyes, to our circumstances. But he'll prove himself over the long haul. He will prove himself even on a particular day if we go to him, and he'll show us all the things he's done in the past and all the things, and not all the things, but some of the things he's going to do in the future. And we can be encouraged in the present day when we don't seem to see anything happen. You know, if you were to go out in a pond and you were in a boat and you're in the middle of the pond and you looked out at the water and it was completely calm, completely calm. And you said to yourself, wow, nothing's happening. But the fish under the pond think something's happening. They're down there eating. They've got food for themselves and so on, the other animals in the pond. And at any moment, a storm could come up and change the whole scene. And the waves could be crashing against the side of your boat. But at that moment, you might say, well, not much is happening. But within a very short amount of time, something could be happening big time that you'd, you know, not know what to do in the middle of that pond. Or if it's a lake, even more so. We were in Michigan last week and found out that 1,000 ships have been lost on Lake Michigan over the years. 1,000 ships. Oh, but for the Great Lakes, 5,000 ships have been lost. And when they show the map, it's just like everywhere, and they haven't found them all. And 30,000 people. 30,000 people on the Great Lakes. Now, some things were happening. Some of them were out in the middle of the lake, and it was just going great, and then all of a sudden, and they told us that actually the waves are more difficult to handle in Lake Michigan than they are in the ocean. Now, I didn't know that. It made me feel real good about Michigan. Yeah, we got the tough lakes. Yeah. Because in the ocean, it's kind of a... You get the idea. Like that. But in Lake Michigan, because it's in a smaller area, it kind of... It's kind of more of a... Okay? Kind of... Waves want to hit you first, you know, so they each take turns from both sides. And so it's a churning. So I don't know if you remember the Fitzgerald, 75, I think it was. Edmund, yes, that's what it was, Edmund Fitzgerald. Apparently the thing, you know, is the largest ship ever lost in the Great Lakes, I guess. But it's very long. It's a barge kind of thing with cargo in it. And it just snapped in the middle of that churning. And that's why it went down. Because it was so long when the bottom fell out underneath the ship and the ship was on two different waves over here, the bottom of the ship weighed a lot and it just broke. It may not have happened in the ocean, but it happened in Lake Michigan. So, you know, the point is, it might not look like much is happening, but God can bring about some pretty exciting things in your life. Or you can be hit by some storms that you can't handle yourself. And you're going to need to be pleasing God at that time and hearing his voice. And he'll help you out. He's going to reach that hand out and pull you up from drowning. You can count on it. So, faith would be the first one that pleases God. He's a rewarder. He is, and he's your rewarder. He's your rewarder. He's your father. He gives good gifts. He loves you so deeply, he'll rescue you from any kind of problem that you could possibly have, any hurt you could possibly have. So why wrap yourself around hurts, pain? Wrap yourself around Jesus. Give him that pain, he'll heal it up. Who could testify? Yeah, he can do it. He can do it. He can heal it up. So it takes faith to believe that. Well, God can't heal my pain because my parents, my people, my former union, and my teacher, coach, he can heal it. He can heal it. The second one would be 2 Timothy 2:4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Second one is being untangled, unentangled. If you're in active service and you're saying, I want to follow Jesus, I want to please Jesus, I want to please God, you can't let the affairs of everyday life take over. Oh, but I have children. You cannot let the affairs of everyday life take over. Oh, but I have a husband. You don't know my... You cannot let the things of everyday life take over. But my job, you cannot let them take over. You are supposed to be an overcomer in those areas. You go for the kingdom first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he's talking about. Unentangled with the world's affairs. We say, well, children, don't even say that they might entangle me. It's not that they would. It's that you would. If you love your children so much that you point them to the kingdom all the time and you're having joy with that and so on, a lot of their misbehaviors and growing up as children and problems and sicknesses and all that, they look all different. All different. You realize that, hey, I can overcome all of these little fits that they have and everything else, and they actually grow up. They don't keep going with biting people all the time and everything. Can you imagine if we had church and everybody bit on one another and we had to put a sign up? Okay, calm down, please. There's too many people biting one another. You know, you get over that. Most people get over that. And if we don't, there's a special prayer for you. I've got a special room for you. We'll give you a special prayer. But we're soldiers. You're enlisted in an army. And so as soldiers in an army, you have to have your eyes on the goal. Build the kingdom. You know, you can build the kingdom while you're having children, while you're raising them, when they're small, when they're in diapers. You can build the kingdom. You just have to say, God, help me with these children. How can I involve them? How can I? And you know what? Sometimes the children do more ministry than we do. People walk in a room, they see a child. Oh, the most precious thing on the planet. That's ministry. I don't know what your kind of ministry is, but my kids ministered. They made it easy for me to talk to people. You go through the store, and you got Christy in the cart, and she's going, Grandma! And Grandma wasn't, you know, within 100 miles. These women, oh, I haven't been called Grandma in so long. Run up to the cart. Takes 2 hours to get a little bit of milk and bread. Your kids are ministry. They're on a ministry mission. They don't have to be, you know, kept quiet all the time. So we can't become entangled. We can ask him, what does that mean for me? I mean, I've got a demanding job. I've got, you know, a number of children to raise here. Our own relationship, husband and wife, you know, could use an upgrade. How does that work? You know what? I believe he'll give you the answers. I don't believe he's going to say, oh, sorry, your case is too special. Never run across this before. Huh. In all of human history, you're the only one I couldn't help. And really thought I was powerful till I ran into you. Sorry, you're not the exception. I'm not the exception. We're just not. No one's an exception. He's too big. He's too powerful. He's too mighty. He can help anybody. He can turn anybody around. So we need faith to please him, to be unentangled as a soldier. Realizing we're in a battle for a kingdom. And our enemy just thinks he's big. He's just on the scare tactics. Trying to be the boogeyman, jump up out at you. But you're the one with the powerful Holy Spirit. Do I have to go through a long message on that again? Maybe for me, but that's not today. You don't have to do it. I don't have to today. Number three, obey the great commandment. You know, I was so encouraged looking through the great commandment again. Matthew 22. Let's take a look together if you have your Bibles. Definitely at this one. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus got all these questions. Well, 35 says, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. You know, these guys were not teachable. They were trying to catch him. Gotcha. Gotcha. Let me tell you one thing. Never got him once. They never even put Jesus in any corner. Not even once. Not even close. No contest. I'd really like to see Jesus do arm wrestling. Wow. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Are you having a hard time understanding the Old Testament? Here you go. One little verse. Two commandments. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Covers the entire Old Testament. That's pretty good. Loving someone else as yourself. If you're not convicted, I am. That's powerful. And he condenses everything in just one verse. Who is all truth? Jesus. How does he just express it so easily? They try to put him in a corner. He just condenses their entire Old Testament to two commands, like that. There are no corners for Jesus. And with him inside of us, we can have less that we fall for. So the great commandment, obeying that, pleases God. He loves it when we love him with everything we are. That fits in with the faith. That fits in with the unentangled, with the things of the world, or just with life itself. In that verse about unentangled, it doesn't say the world. It says just our stuff. We've got to see Jesus everywhere, in everything. When Johnny's misbehaving, we have to see Jesus in him in the future. You know what? That temper tantrum that you're throwing right there, that's going to be great on the mission field. That, you know, that spunk behind it. Jesus is going to take that and mold it, and it's going to be great on the mission field. When everyone else is tired, you're going to be at the one at the front going, "Hey, let's go get that village." I can see it in you. And by the way, stop. In love. So the Great Commission, if you want the passages on that, it's Matthew 22, 36 through 40, Mark 12, 28 through 31, Luke 10, 25 through 28. Look at those. Well, you can get it on the tape because you'll listen to it, right? So John 13, 34 and 35, where he talks about the love between all of us is going to affect the world. When we love one another, look out world, you're not going to be able to resist it. When Michael Kiyagaba loves me and I love him, the world can't resist it. Woo! Number four, obey the Great Commission. Matthew 28, need to look at this one too, please. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So, great commandment, love God first, love one another, and oh, by the way, go and do that. Don't just do it in your family. Go out to strangers. Go out to nations. Go out to neighborhoods and share the gospel. Make disciples of people. Now, we know that making disciples today has to do with them becoming sons and daughters of the King. Because many people have been disciples. I've, you know, trained a number of people in my past that they were disciples, but they were disciples for about 1 year. I had a, you know, memorizing scripture group years ago, and man, the all-star student in that group was a woman. Man, she was memorizing those scriptures. She was loving it. Her husband, he had a hard time memorizing, but he was coming along. They were encouraged. They were growing. But you can't just memorize verses, can you? You have to let God heal you on the inside. You have to let God give you his Holy Spirit in abundance. You have to receive all that God has for you. You have to hear his voice. You have to open your eyes to what he has for you as far as the kingdom and what you should do and so on. Well, they had their memorizing of verses. They were involved in that. But it wasn't that long afterward when the group ended and so on. We were done memorizing a set of verses. We were done memorizing. It wasn't too long afterward they had left the church. What happened to them? Where'd they go? And the next thing, I see the guy and say, well, yeah, I'm having a little problem with the drinking and go to the bars after work. Well, why? My wife left me. What? Got this beautiful family, these beautiful children, split right down the middle. And I'm just thinking, wow, incredible. You know, things happen. And, you know, he wasn't interested in getting with me and having prayer or Bible or anything. He was so hurt. So, you know, just because someone becomes attuned to the faith for a season, Jesus can have, can help us with having the fruit remain in our lives and in the lives of other people. Many times it has to do with becoming a son or daughter, really realizing what that means. Well, how could that be the key to it? It changed my life. I was a dedicated Christian, but when I found out about sonship, it changed everything. I've been trying to please God by what I could do, and he told me, you already pleased me. You're a treasure to me. What? Wait, don't I please you by what I do? Do you love me, is what I asked Peter 3 times. I didn't ask him, what are you doing for me lately, Peter? What are you doing for me, Peter? What are you doing for me, Peter? What are you doing for me, Peter? No. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And by the way, I love you and I restore you, Peter, to your ministry. It was a love situation. It changed everything. Becoming a son, knowing I was valuable even on my bad days. It's awesome. I took more risks as a son than I ever did as a servant. Many more risks. Now think about it. I married Pastor Mary Pat. Now that's, you're saying to yourself, you're going to be taking a lot of risks the rest of your life. Because that woman's going to keep on going to the nations. She's going to keep on going to the nations. She's going to keep on going to people. She's going to minister. And you're attached to her, you're going to be stretched. You better be a son. You better be a son. It's helped so much. So the Great Commission, going with all that love we have in our hearts for our neighbors. And our neighbors could be in India. It's pretty cool that we have neighbors in India. Well, where are the neighbors of the church here? Well, some of them are in India. Right there. And they like to stay in touch. Anytime I'm on Facebook, boop, 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 2 or 3 from India or Pakistan. I haven't even met that guy yet, but he just sends me everything. So who knows? Carly might expand it over to Pakistan. It's not that far away. Fifth one, humility. You had to expect that that would be on the list. 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. You younger men and women, likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And of course, it goes on. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. So, humility is not a feeling. I feel humble today. I think I'll do the dishes for the household. I'm feeling humble. I think I'll dust. I think I'm feeling real humble. I'll clean the toilets. I'll even empty the dehumidifier. I'm feeling so humble today. Humility is not a feeling. It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God has to do something with our humility. He's the one that gives it to us. You can't drum up humility. How many know you can't drum up joy? Oh, man. That'd be great if we could. Come on. Oh, yeah. I could just feel a little better. Oh, I feel better. I'll drum it up. No, it's a gift. That joy, fruit of the Spirit. Spirit gives it. The same way with humility. You can't go around saying, I need to be more humble. I'm going to be more humble. Doggone, I'm going to be more humble. No, the way we get humble is go to God and say, okay, search my heart. I know you're going to find something. And when you do, remember, I'm still your son. And then he points out the things, and I go, you're right. Yep, you're right. You're right. I repent. Please forgive me. And you need to go tell Pastor Mary Pat too. Okay. All right. I know I kind of put a long, long pause on that one, but I'll go do it. Okay. And God, under his mighty hand, helps us become humble. You know, even our position doesn't fool him. Go up front, cry. I mean, nothing wrong with that. I recommend it. I've left a little bit of snot in this carpet myself. But, you know, that doesn't prove anything, does it? Or worship. God, look at me. People, look at me. I'm worshiping. I'm feeling it today. But in our hearts, you know, it might be a little different. God knows what's going on. If we say, God, I'm faking worship right now. And he says, yeah, I wasn't feeling it, you know, so. Yeah, you're faking it, all right. Well, okay, what do I do about it? Just, you know, I'm here for you. I love you. Let me just, you know, show you how much I love you. And then suddenly worship just comes out of our heart because he still loves us when we're toadstools, you know. Still loves us. So, it's not a feeling. James 4, 6 through 10. Oh, boy, these are convicting. Thank the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you for your conviction. We love it. Bring more of it right now. But he gives greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Thank you, God. Yeah. Cleanse, purify. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. But it can only happen in his presence, right? It says, submit to, therefore, to God. It says, draw near to God. That's where humility happens. If we think we can be humble up here or humble in worship or something and leave God, it doesn't happen, does it? When I'm feeling like I don't want to worship, it's not that often, praise God, but when I don't feel that way, when I walk in and you know the worship team is really going great guns and I'm just not feeling it, I start talking to God. What's going on? What's happening in my heart? Help me, God. I need you. I can't just make this worship up. I want to give you authentic worship. Help me with that. Strengthen me. Your joy is my strength. And as I speak out things to him, talk to him, suddenly I'm authentically worshiping. But I needed him. I needed him to get there. Does that ring a bell with anyone? Hey, if you're not connecting in worship, talk to him. Submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's supposed to be an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit, and it does wonders. Number six, teachable. Here's a very short scripture for you. Proverbs. Look through Proverbs to see what being teachable is all about. Gaining understanding, instruction, without rebelling and saying, well, I've heard that before, why are they telling me again? but specifically Proverbs 4 if you want to start. Don't start, well, you could start at the beginning, but start at Proverbs 4, and it talks about a father giving instruction and why we should receive it. Beautiful passage. If you haven't read that in a while, it's just beautiful. Proverbs 4. So being teachable, being willing to receive instruction. Many people come and they say, well, yeah, I just see it. I see the need for it. You guys preach the Bible here? Yes. Okay, I just want to be taught. And you'll know within a year how much someone wants to be taught, how teachable they really are, whether they're after, you know, the kingdom or they're not. If you know them well at all, you'll know whether they're teachable. Because we get instruction from those that have spent time with God. Sometimes in the church, at large, the ones speaking the loudest are the ones that should be quiet. Whoa, got quiet right now. The ones that should be speaking are waiting for others to stop speaking, that they could actually bring wisdom in. Jesus listened to them quabble and squabble, and his disciples, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the lawyers, Sadducees, Pharisees, they're all squabbling. They'd ask him a question, he'd give the answer in such a short form, boom, if they would have just come to him in the first place. And be careful for the wisdom that you receive from Facebook. Facebook, I don't know if you know, is not the Bible. Even if they use the Bible. And what people think and unsubmitted opinions, they're all over Facebook. I don't have a problem with Facebook. It's a wonderful tool for God. But some people use it as a tool for their particular agenda that they have a problem with God over. And you got to watch it. Don't put your likes on a bunch of things just because the person, you like the person. Don't always like what isn't of God. Ask him before you put your like down. Don't put your stamp of approval. It says don't put your stamp of approval on someone that's too young to really have the right to speak, young in the spirit. Be careful. Be careful. Forgiving. Wow. Whole huge area. We could spend the whole rest of the afternoon on this. Anybody willing? Okay, never mind. Didn't ask that. Matthew 6. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's positive. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Ooh. Wow. That's serious business. Serious. I had someone tell me years ago when I was going through the greatest trial of my life, you don't have to forgive unless they repent. And I said, he was my best friend. Very godly guy. He said, I'm sorry. It's just not the truth. Oh, my pastor says so. I've got a book on it. Sorry. It's just not the truth. Jesus on the cross, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Did those guards and all the guys jabbing him and beating him up and crucifying him, did they repent? No, but he forgave them. He forgave them. So someone doesn't have to repent for us to forgive them. So forgive early in the process. If they're mad at you, upset with you, whatever, forgive them. And you're out of prison. And you're free to see how you can help them reach their destiny. It's incredible how that works. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Just Wow, serious about forgiving. And then Matthew 18, 21 through 35, that's on the 70 times 7. Well, how many times? Like up 7 maybe? Would that be all right? Maybe 7? I know. Peter asking that felt he was being very generous at 7. 7 times. I mean, that's a perfect number in the Bible. I mean, he even picked the perfect number. And Jesus said 70 times 7. And he doesn't mean 490. He means just let it go on and on and on. Forgiveness should go on. If you have roommates, forgiveness should go on. Especially toothpaste tubes and uncleaned areas of the house. Forgiveness should just go on and on and on. Between spouses, it better be a centerpiece, because forgiveness needs to go on and on and on. And the last one on this list, but certainly not the last one on the list, is honor, which with this body, for as long as God, Holy Spirit, would have it be that way. I'm going to covenant with the vision of this body. Now, we have no membership to sign, no dotted line. We say you covenant through Holy Spirit. If he tells you this is where you're supposed to put your time, your resources, you know, your efforts in building the kingdom and partner with the vision here, you're more than welcome. We don't try to talk you into partnering. We tell you the benefits, but Holy Spirit should be the one that determines it. And those that are convinced that Holy Spirit has connected them here and they honor that covenant, wow. They tear it up in the Spirit as time goes on. Because that's part of loving God with your whole mind, soul, body, strength, and so on. That you know where you're supposed to be to love him and love others as yourself. You kind of know where you're supposed to operate out of. Where's home base? One of the problems in the body of Christ is we have a lot of Lone Ranger Christians. Oh, I kind of like what they're doing over here in worship, but I like the teaching over here. And I kind of like what they do over here with this, and I like this over there. And it's not like, you know, people can't come for a concert or a special speaker, things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's the dilly-dabble. You know, the dabble with a little of this, dabble a little of that. I don't have to commit to anything. It's like having 40 girlfriends. You know? How do you get to them all? Oh, gee, I just got to keep moving. I got to keep moving. There's so many girlfriends. I just got to keep bouncing back between all of them. But when you know that you know that you know that for whatever season that God desires, that you're connected and in covenant with a group of people, you know, you can put up with their warts. You can put up with their bad hair days. You can put up with anything. You can bear one another's burdens. You can care when they have a need. You know, if there's someone with a major physical problem in this body and you're a flitter, you know, you flit in, flit out, you know what I mean? Go other place for 6 months, come here for 3, go over there for 2, and flit around the body of Christ, you can't really join in with us as we pray for that person, as we support that person, as we minister to that person. You know? There's just something about it. In the same way in other bodies. It's okay that someone comes by here on a Tuesday night for a little drink out of the well. No problem with that. You don't have to be attached to this church to come on a Tuesday night fire and wind. You may need a little extra breeze. You might need a little extra fire. That's okay. We don't hold on to you because you walk in the building and say, oh, now you got a covenant. But if your normal worship service is Wednesday night, don't substitute it with fire and wind if you're from another body. Go to that Wednesday night service and support whatever's going on there. If they're praying or they're doing something at that fellowship and you're part of that group, and you just breeze through here on a Tuesday night, you know, to to get a little drink of the Spirit. You hear my heart, or are you missing it? I see some kind of looks like, huh? My heart is, the doors are open, but covenant is so cool. And Tuesday night is not necessarily where you're going to find the most covenant people, necessarily, okay? And that's fine. But if you are covenanted with a group, and it's this one, then there's so much benefit with just following through with that. Just honoring that. Honoring your covenants. So, to continue with the honored, all of these things, including the honor, bring worship to God. They honor God, don't they? You know, in Revelation 5, 12, and 13, man, he deserves all. And it includes honor in that list. There's, you look in Revelation so often, or other passages, and in Romans, it tells us to honor one another and so on. In 1 Timothy 5:17, honor elders. In 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. But sprinkled through there, of course, is just honor for God. Honor everything that he has, that he is, and that he has given us. Just honor him for that. That's worship, isn't it? And all these different things, the eight things listed here, they all are part of our worship to God, pleasing him with our worship, just being willing to cooperate with his way of doing things, his way of us pleasing him. You know, what if all we had to do was give God an ice cream cone and he'd be pleased? That'd be great, huh? But he asked for our lives, not an ice cream cone. And I think there are a lot more ice cream cone Christians than we realize. I just want to give God a little ice cream cone. God, I'm here tonight. You know, I know I came an hour and a half late, and there's only a half hour left in the service, but here's your ice cream cone, and I just want to worship you. It's just, what does he want you to do to honor him, to please him? It's all there. What's our normal? Is it to try to please him in these areas, or is it try to get around these areas so I don't really have to do that, but I'll still look pretty good? No, God knows your heart. God knows my heart. All of us have been fakes at times. I can remember growing up as a Christian, and I couldn't wait until they closed their eyes in the prayer. Now, this was a teenager. It wasn't last week. But close their eyes in a prayer so I could see who else was looking around so I could, you know, throw something at them or goof around or whatever. Don't even remember the faces I made. Maybe some of Beth's faces. I don't know. She's got some good ones. She could teach me a few. Anyway, I don't do that anymore. I don't even want to do that anymore. That's a change. Hey, thank you, God. I can honor him for that. I can worship him for that. How many want to change in these areas and more? I do. Man, I want to change more in these things. Father, we just say, we're yours today. You're our Father. We worship you on this Father's Day. And we say, Lord, we're terrible at commitments to these eight things, or, you know, this list actually goes on forever. We're terrible at commitments. But we know by the power of your Holy Spirit, you can give us a covenant heart with you. A true covenant heart that says, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Change me, mold me, make me, turn me upside down. Turn me into the man of God, the woman of God you want me to be. I want to please you. I want to hear your still small voice. I want my life to be more than it is. And it has to come from you. And I have to be the receiver. I offer myself to be the receiver. I want to receive from your hand, Father, your many good gifts to empower me, to take care of me, to use me for your kingdom. I want to obey the great commandment, the great commission, all the greats. But I don't feel like I have the power to do it. You do, though. So I draw near to you that you might draw near to me.
I humble myself before you, submitting myself under your almighty hand, letting you work in my heart and my life, not just listening to my own opinions, listening to my own ideas. I submit them to you with joy, like a little child, and you'll sort them out for me. Hey, that's a good one. That's a real good idea. Ah, that one's not so good. And Lord, I just know you're faithful to do that. Thank you, God. I want to please you. Thank you, God. I want to hear you. We give you the praise. We honor your name in this house. We honor your name in our lives. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Higher and higher, wider and wider, greater and greater, deeper and deeper. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, from our hearts, not just our lips. We give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, we want to honor the fathers in the house. So a couple of the sons in the house, daughters in the house, would like to pass out to the fathers in the house. Ah, here they come. Look at this. Look at this. Look. Where's the son? We want to bless you with a little treat.
We want to bless you with a little treat on the tape. A son.
Yes.
Yes. And if you want to gather around someone that's a father here, let's just pray into them for a couple of minutes here. Just bless them richly. Just fill them up with all that God has for them. Run to someone that looks like a father. You okay? Yeah, I will. Start praying over them. Okay. Yes, Lord. Give them all you got.
Great lesson on extravagant love. And I think Pastor Mary Pat gave a message on that. So today, this day, 29 years ago, the Rogers family was established. And so I want to show her that extravagant love. Kim, would you come up here, Kim? So, my lovely wife, I've gotten her flowers. Did I do all right?
Men who honor. Come on.
Yes.
Nice. Woo-hoo.
So we celebrate 29 years today of marriage and many, many more. So. Hey.
He didn't just get those at Mark's, I'll tell you that. Woo! Father, we thank you for this couple. We thank you for all they mean to this body, God. We thank you for their covenant with a vision here, Lord. We thank you that they go to the nations one way or another, Father. And we bless them, Lord. We thank you for their part in building the kingdom and building a family, God. We give them or give you praise, and we offer to them your favor, your blessing, your lifting up, your provision, taking care of them as they continue on to number 30, Lord, and yeah. Further. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done to restore in the past,
yes,
to bring about this beautiful, fruitful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, that was part of Men Who Honor. That's pretty cool. Honor his wife. That's really cool. We wish you all a happy Father's Day. Whether your father is with you, not with you, if you've not known your father, You still came from a father and mother, so we just bless you, and we bless all those that were part of bringing you to where you are today. And we know sometimes that's a bittersweet time on Father's Day. Your dads may not be around, dads may have even left, and it's caused a lot of pain, or they're going home to be with the Lord, or maybe not. So there's a lot of different emotions that go through Father's Day and Mother's Day. So we just celebrate our Father in heaven and ask for God's peace and comfort over each one of you right now as you're thinking about your fathers and all the things that surround that. So, Lord, we just ask for your hand of grace to be on every person here, for every situation that they face. And, Lord, we're just calling in full restoration and healing between fathers and sons and daughters, for the fathers who are still here. Father, we're asking for that. We're asking for the fullness of healing and deliverance and hope to be restored in all families. We just bless what you're doing right now, and we ask for your continued outpouring of love. You're so good. In Jesus' name. And I also want to mention that those who've been part of the Ephesians study, it's been very exciting. We've only had two meetings so far, but tomorrow we're going to have another one, tomorrow night, between 6:30 and 8:30. So if you're able to come, that's great. We'd love to have you. Bring your Bibles. We're going through, you know, in a very detailed way the Word of God, and just absolutely love that. So tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30 here. And if you haven't been part of that and you want the recordings, then see Carly, because it's been recorded and it's very, very strong and powerful. Amen.